on of the Dynamic Coalition on Linguistic Diversity. Bonjour et bienvenue à cet atelier organisé par la Coalition Dynamique de la Diversité Linguistique. Cet atelier sera modéré, co-modéré par moi-même, Viola Krebs, lycée volontaire et aussi représentant ici le réseau Maya, réseau pour la diversité linguistique, et
por Cláudio Menezes. Anteriormente eu fui o coordenador do programa de multilinguismo na UNESCO até o dia 31 de maio e agora continuo participando da rede Maya, mas eu trabalho para o governo brasileiro, para o Instituto Brasileiro de Informação em Ciência e Tecnologia, órgão do Ministério da Ciência e Tecnologia.
Since we do not have French simultaneous interpretation, but we're talking about diversity linguistic diversity. I will be making summaries for all of those who would like to speak in French. Donc, étant donné que nous n'avons pas d'interprétation en français, moi, je vous ferai un résumé par rapport à toutes les interventions qui pourraient se faire en français.
Et moi, pour ma part, j'essaierai de faire ce résumé pour les interventions qui méritent une précision en portugais.
Donc, j'aimerais tout de suite passer aux introductions ou un petit peu tracer l'histoire. L'histoire par rapport à Maya, ce qui veut dire humanitude en Bambara. Et donc, Maya, c'est le réseau mondial pour la diversité linguistique. Ce réseau a vu le jour à Tunis, lors du sommet mondial sur la société de l'information, il y a exactement 2 ans. Il a officiellement été lancé ensuite au moment de la journée de la langue maternelle, le 21 février 2006, c'est-à-dire quelques mois plus tard, à Paris, à l'UNESCO. Et ce réseau regroupe des institutions à la fois de la société civile, mais également des organisations internationales, telles que, par exemple, l'Organisation internationale de la francophonie, et puis également des institutions participent, telles que l'UIT, l'UNESCO. Et ce réseau a pour mission, effectivement, d'aborder les questions qui sont liées à la diversité linguistique. Maintenant, historiquement, le réseau a vu le jour dans le cadre du sommet sur la société de l'information. Et donc, la composante technologique liée aux langues est importante. Mais le réseau a une mission plus large qu'exclusivement la diversité linguistique dans le cyberespace, l'un des aspects. Il a pour mission d'aborder l'ensemble des questions liées aux langues et la diversité des langues, sachant que aujourd'hui dans le monde, il y a 6000 langues et que certains disent que effectivement un tiers de ces langues pourrait disparaître si on ne prend pas en considération cette diversité et on la met en valeur. Donc, également, bon, entre Maya a proposé de créer dans le cadre de l'IGF une coalition dynamique et c'est cette coalition dynamique liée à la diversité linguistique qui organise ce matin le présent atelier. So, just quickly in English.
Yes. Well, I will not repeat everything in English, but this workshop is organized in the framework of Maya Network, which was an initiative launched on the 21st of February 2006, which is the International Modern Language Day. And and for this reason, and taking the issues related to multilingualism and the need of having of promoting languages everywhere, both in the cyberspace and beyond the cyberspace, as Viola mentioned, we have more than 6,000 languages, out of which only less than 100 have a digital representation. So it is for this reason, and within the framework of Internet Governance Forum, it was a number of institutions has decided to launch this dynamic coalition. And we do hope that from this workshop, a new dynamic and the new initiatives will happen in addition to those that you already know. It's particularly important to underline that next year it will be the International Year for Language in the United Nations, and which is an invitation to both the Dynamic Coalition and Maya Network to take advantage of the momentum which can bring to new initiatives in favor of linguistic diversity. And now we are going to start the presentations, and I give floor back to Viola.
So our first speaker is from Russia, Tatiana Ershova from the Institute of the Information Society in Moscow, Russia. Tatiana, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Viola. Just for the sake of linguistic diversity, I would like to say a few words in Russian. Мне хотелось бы поблагодарить организаторов этой сессии за эту возможность выступить здесь для того, чтобы поделиться своими мыслями по поводу этой важной для развития глобального информационного общества темы. Большое спасибо моим коллегам, которые пригласили меня сюда, хотя я, к сожалению, не знаю французского языка, но очень бы хотела его знать. Just a quick translation. I would like to extend my sincere gratitude to the organizers of this session to invite me here, in spite of the fact that I do not speak French, but I would love to. And so my presentation has a very broad title, actually, Multilingual Aspects of the Internet Governance. First of all, I would like to refer to the WSIS key documents. There are some problems with the with the slides. I would like to refer to the WSIS outcome documents, the Geneva Declaration and Geneva Plan of Action, which really encourage to take this important topic into account. The same about the Tunis documents and the synthesis paper, which also stresses importance of promoting and protecting locally developed content and language communities in developing multilingual content. Okay, there are several problems to consider in terms of multilingualism. Well, the number of non-English speaking internet users has globally grown to 470 million since the early 90s. And that was really quite a problem for the internet. And this number made roughly 2/3 of all internet users according to the Cyber Atlas. And there were some key problems to some major problems to resolve by the research community and by those involved in multilingualism and in the research of the multilingual internet. First, it is adaptations of writing systems in online environments. Second, social interpretations of and attitudes towards such adaptation, language choice in multilingual context, and gender and language dynamics in computer-mediated communication in non-English-speaking countries. So if we talk about the adaptation of writing systems, one should say that accommodating to multilingualism on the internet requires that the writing system of the world's languages should be representable in digital form. And speakers of many languages initially had to cope with limitations of the SACII character set when trying to communicate online. And the progress is due to the development of the Unicode, which really helped us to use the internet. This is especially important for the countries which do not use the Latin alphabet. Online communication is dependent on whether those writing systems can enter their contributions in the language and script desired, and whether recipients of messages have the technical access to receive them and the literacy skills to read them. And the last problem, which I mentioned, is really social, more socio-economic, not the linguistic and not any other. Online communications entail the development of informal culture, written cultures, with a number of specific linguistic and interactional features. And this is what internet brought into our life. For example, eccentric spelling. In our Russian language, we have a special subculture, which is called padunki. It is very popular right now. As far as I know, there is some kind of such phenomenon also in the Greek language, where the controversial use of Roman alphabet in online communication is used. In Japan, for example, it is innovative punctuation, or people online use different abbreviations which are understandable only for them, or rebus writing, or smileys, and many, many other things. Much depends on the attitudes towards new adaptations, and it's quite an issue for the internet. There is an approach which is called retrospective trend, when new kinds of adaptations, including foreign language influence, are seen as a threat to the national language and cultural heritage. Another trend is called prospective, when new adaptations are regarded as a transitory phenomenon which will become negligible due to technological advances. And there is one more trend which is called resistive, which points to the negative effects of globalization and relates new adaptations to other communication and socio-cultural practices. Another problem is the language choice challenge. For national internets, it is really quite a problem. There is a need, there is still a need in any country, I think, for some kind of lingua franca. It is not obligatorily to be English, but world actively uses English now just as an international language. And it also uses large regional languages such as Chinese, Spanish, Arabic, Russian, and Hindi for regional communication. Sometimes English is preferred in multilingual countries, like, for example, Switzerland, and in specific communities. And it is stated that it is preferred by medical students in Switzerland, which really cannot decide what national language to use, either German or French. And these medical students choose English to communicate online. If not lingua franca, then machine translation. Machine translation may offer a promise of enabling smaller languages to survive. And there are quite a lot of tools just to be used for this purpose, like Google Translation, Columbus Accent, Abby software in Russia, or Lingvo software also in Russia, WebTrans site, and many, many others. Well, and these machine translation tools can also be used to avoid some political problems, like, for example, in Spain, where Catalan and Spanish are in a very complicated political relationship. So, and sometimes people use just machine translation to communicate in terms to avoid these political problems. Well, there are some sophisticated means. They are not very much distributed in the world, not very much popular, but for example, in our country, in Russia, many attempts are made just to implement such kind of very complex methods of resolving the language choice challenge. This can be automatic forming and translation of keywords in keyring systems, means of automatic speech processing like speech dialogue systems, oral vocabularies and translators, and many others, algorithmic analysis of the deep language structures. But all this is really not perfect yet, and needs to be developed further. Well, there are still quite a lot of sociolinguistic problems which have to be researched, and this research really have to be developed internationally with the involvement of researchers from many countries. More contexts must be studied before generalization becomes possible in terms of language choice. And machine translation algorithms intended to work on the internet must take into account actual communication patterns. And for this, research is also needed. And answers to many questions have to be found internationally. For example, how, if at all, do norms of communication differ among speakers of other languages conversing online? Or does the tendency towards informality conflict with local norms regarding formality and status differences? And if so, how these conflicts has to be resolved, and many, many others. Linguistic diversity is quite an issue for Russia. Russia is huge, as you know. It is a multinational state with over 180 ethnic groups with unique cultures and traditions. Citizens of Russia speak more than 150 languages, and the majority of these languages is possessed by less than 10,000 people. Many of these languages are on the verge of disappearance. Russia's population is 142 million, but there are only 8 languages spoken by more than 1 million people. This is Russian, English, which is very popular in our country, Tatar, which is a national language, German, known by many, many people in Russia, Ukrainian, Bashkir, Chechen, and Chuvash. We have 24 languages with official status in our country. Russian, which is a state language on the entire territory, and 23 doesn't work. I'm sorry. Excuse me. And 23 more languages are the state languages of the subjects of federation. You know that in our country we have 85 regions, which we call subjects of federation, and many of them are national republics with their own state languages. So, and Russian languages belong to 14 linguistic families. Can you imagine? And so, how is this linguistic diversity issue handled in our country? I can say that the main activities aimed at preserving the linguistic diversity are concentrated mainly in the regions, in the subject of federation. Regional programs are being established and implemented, though very poorly financed yet. Work related to languages documenting is being conducted in higher education and research institutes. And some official websites of national republics are maintained both in Russian and national languages. There are also regional activities undertaken to preserve the linguistic diversity. Electronic training aids, textbooks, and dictionaries are being published. Online forums are being offered for the communication in different languages. Media resources are presented online. Radio broadcasting is provided in the languages of many nations of Russia. So we have a lot of challenges in preserving linguistic diversity and promoting it. In spite of the efforts undertaken, the languages spoken by the peoples of Russia are very poorly presented in the internet. And the main reason for that is lack of awareness and consequently inadequate financing, insufficient training of specialists, which would be really of use just to help resolve this problem. And I would tell you that there is one active player in this field, and this is the Russian Committee of the UNESCO Information for All program, probably the only organization now just to promote the multilingualism and the support of the national languages in our country. It is supported by UNESCO and financed also by UNESCO. Not yet by the Russian government, but we hope that it will. And now the Russian IFAP, which we call it, has started a research program which would concentrate on listing all the activities and all the specialists in the field of linguistic diversity in order to just to have the whole picture, to establish contacts within the country and outside the country. And I think that very soon the Russian linguistic diversity will come to the global level. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Tatiana, for this very interesting summary of issues we're dealing with and examples, also very concrete examples of issues related to linguistic diversity. I would like to give the floor immediately to Daniel Pimienta from Fundredes. Daniel, the floor is yours, and I think we still have a little bit of...
The floor is mine, but not yet the screen, what's wrong? Well, that's it. Bonjour tout le monde, buenos dias, bon dia, good morning. Je vais parler en français et faire une synthèse autant que possible en anglais. Je vais vous parler du thème de l'intégration de la traduction par programme dans les listes de discussion et vous raconter l'expérience qu'a eu Fundredes depuis assez longtemps déjà et quelles sont les perspectives. I'm talking about the use of machine translation embedded in discussion lists. I work for Network and Development Foundation in Dominican Republic and I'm a member of MAIA and a researcher in Université Antiguyane. Quelques données de référence sur le problème de le thème de la traduction. Sur la base d'une page de 250 mots, la traduction d'un professionnel au nord coûte entre 25 et 50 dollars. La traduction d'un professionnel au sud coûte entre 8 et 15 dollars. C'est l'ordre de grandeur. This is the price of a one-page translation between north and south professionals. Un peu de contexte. Si on fait une traduction par programme sans révision, on utilise un programme de traduction, on lance le programme sur un texte donné, le coût est pratiquement nul. C'est un, enfin, il faut amortir le coût du programme de traduction ou on utilise des choses gratuites sur Google. La qualité est extrêmement pauvre, vous le savez tous. Si on révise le résultat, ça prend un peu de temps, beaucoup moins que de traduire, ça reste très pauvre, mais on a quand même quelque chose de meilleur. Le coût se multiplie, 5 à 10. si on normalise l'entrée du programme de traduction, ça veut dire qu'on fait des, on respecte la syntaxe, les accents, des phrases courtes, on respecte les règles que je vais vous présenter tout à l'heure, on a un résultat qui reste pauvre, mais qui commence à être lisible. Le coût passe à 20-30. Si on fait une normalisation du programme à l'entrée et une révision à la sortie, le résultat est presque acceptable. Et le coût reste très faible. Comparé avec le coût d'un professionnel, c'est 100 à 1000 fois plus grand. Une traduction par un non-professionnel, par nous-mêmes, assistée par programme, a un résultat à peine acceptable, mais qui ne coûte pas très cher. Et dès qu'on passe à la traduction professionnelle, ça coûte beaucoup plus cher. This is a table showing the different ratio cost quality depending on you using a program without revision, with input formatting, and without input formatting. Why so many economical data? Pourquoi je parle tellement de chiffres de prix? Parce que la traduction automatique dans les discussions est avant tout une question de pragmatisme et de compromis entre qualité et coût. Trop souvent d'ailleurs, on utilise le pragmatisme contre la diversité. C'est au nom du pragmatisme que l'on dit ça coûte trop cher, on ne peut pas faire d'interprétation, on ne peut pas faire de traduction dans un tas de projets. Donc il faut lutter avec les mêmes armes du pragmatisme. Pragmatism is always used as a double-sided weapon when you are talking about diversity. It's always used against diversity, and here we want to use it for diversity. Donc, la traduction par programme dans des conférences électroniques, expérience que nous menons depuis 1995-16, ce n'est pas la traduction. C'est une aide à l'intercompréhension. Et il faut éviter le malentendu. Ce n'est pas une traduction, c'est une aide à l'intercompréhension. Cependant, cette aide, l'expérience nous le prouve tous les jours, est quelque chose d'assez utile. Elle permet à des communautés de langues différentes de travailler ensemble. Il faut à la fois lire le message original dans la langue étrangère et lire la traduction très approximative du programme, et on arrive à avoir une idée et on peut participer à une discussion. Automatic translation is not really a translation, it's just an aid for intercomprehension. And understanding that, it has a lot of utility within virtual communities. En schématisant beaucoup, et excusez la provocation, moi ce que je vois dans mon expérience quotidienne, c'est que les personnes qui en ont besoin sont bien contentes de l'avoir, elles le disent, et les personnes qui n'en ont pas besoin passent leur temps à se plaindre de la mauvaise qualité, à se moquer des erreurs toujours grotesques, et sont en fait les premières responsables. Parce qu'elles ne respectent pas les règles pour que la traduction soit bonne. C'est un des paradoxes dans lequel on vit sur la traduction. Le problème de l'éducation d'utilisateur est clé. Et malheureusement, dans les listes non modérées, il est pratiquement insoluble aujourd'hui. Synthesis. What I have observed by experience is that people who really need this type of service are very happy with it. It helps them. And people who does not need it because they speak enough language of the virtual community, they spend their time laughing about it and being the first responsible because they do not respect the rule of the game. Voyons un exemple pour comprendre les mécanismes. Voilà un message que j'ai écrit pour la démonstration de cette journée. Il est peut-être un peu long, je me rends compte maintenant. Je le lis très vite, ceci n'est pas un message, c'est un texte pour faire un test de la qualité de la traduction par programme. Vous verrez que les fautes d'orthographe et les défauts, vous avez vu que j'avais fait une faute d'orthographe sur orthographe et le mot défaut, provoquent une baisse sensible de la qualité, surtout l'oubli du point à la fin de la phrase. Ne parlons pas des diacritiques. Cet été, j'irai à la plage avec mes amis brésiliens, sans accent et sans rien. On va voir qu'est-ce que ça donne. Les phrases longues et compliquées utilisant la double négation ne peuvent pas ne pas faire autrement que d'engendrer des problèmes qui ne seraient pas inévitables si l'on faisait l'effort nécessaire pour les éviter et les couper en phrases plus courtes. De manière à ce que le programme ne se plante pas. Je pensais, en mettant cette phrase, avoir un résultat absolument abscon. Vous allez être surpris. Il s'est débrouillé pas mal, le programme, à part pour le plantage. Par contre, si l'on respecte correctement les règles, le résultat peut surprendre par sa qualité. Regardez comment la phrase précédente et celle-ci sont parfaitement traduites en espagnol et en anglais. Cela vous impressionne? Et j'ai mis la phrase avec mes amis brésiliens à la fin en post-scriptum, en la rédigeant bien. Voyons le résultat. Vous pouvez tous lire. You can read the translation. This été, J will go has the beach with my friend Brazilian. Nonsense. Why nonsense? Because the input was not respecting the syntax and the diacritics. La phrase longue et compliquée, finalement, il s'en est pas mal tiré malgré les doubles négations, à part the program is not planted, parce que le mot planté n'est pas dans le dictionnaire. Regardez bien la phrase suivante. On the other hand, if the rules correctly are complied with, the result can surprise by its quality. Look at how the preceding sentence and this one are translated perfectly into Spanish and English. Does that impress you? C'est parfait. Donc, quand on se moque de la traduction automatique dans des espaces où les gens en ont besoin, faisons bien attention à ce que l'on produit soi-même. Regardez la phrase avec I assure you that I will go to the beach with my Brazilian friends. La traduction est parfaite. Espagnol, c'est un peu la même chose. Il n'y a pas beaucoup d'hispanophones, peut-être je vais passer sur l'espagnol parce que j'ai peu de temps, mais c'est à peu près la même chose. Donc, quelles sont les règles dont je parle pour que le résultat soit valable? Pas de faute d'orthographe, pas d'erreur de syntaxe, mettez vos accents, mettez les ponctuations, utilisez des lettres majuscules quand il faut les utiliser, surtout ne pas écrire des lettres, c'est là où la netiquette et la traduction automatique se rejoignent, n'écrivez pas en majuscules, use a syntax corrector, avoid orthograph mistake, put correctly punctuation, do not use uppercase, lowercase on an ineffective way, and you get a result which is usable. Les phrases longues et complexes, réécrivez-les en plus courtes. Mon exemple n'a pas trop bien marché, je pensais que ça allait faire une catastrophe. Mais évitez les parenthèses et les tirets. Évitez les structures passives. Une copie du rapport sera envoyée, il vaut mieux dire « nous en verrons une copie du rapport ». Évitez bien entendu les locutions idiomatiques. Il est tombé dans les pommes, le programme de traduction va dire « he fall on an apple ». Évident. C'est un peu dommage parce qu'on aime bien parler d'imagé, mais il faut respecter. C'est quand même une question de respect vers la diversité. Faire cet effort-là, c'est contraignant, mais c'est un peu respecter les personnes d'une autre langue qui sont dans un espace virtuel avec nous. Voilà donc les règles. La perte de l'étiquette, qui est très fréquente aujourd'hui dans les espaces virtuels, les gens ne respectent plus beaucoup parce que la croissance d'Internet était plus forte que les rapidités d'éducation, est une catastrophe pour la traduction automatique. Dans les listes non modérées, on voit les gens laisser la chaîne de messages, des 10 derniers messages, répondre « oui, je suis d'accord » avec derrière un tas de textes. C'est une catastrophe pour la traduction automatique. Et c'est un manque de respect pour le multilinguisme et la diversité. The loss of netiquette is a real problem for discussion list with automatic translation. That's why I recommend always moderation. Avec toutes ces réserves, ça reste un outil très utile, pragmatique, au bon sens du terme, et évite l'attitude confortable de l'autruche face au défi de la diversité. Simplement, le fait d'utiliser la traduction automatique dans une liste permet de rappeler tous les jours aux personnes qui sont dans cette liste qu'il y a des gens qui ne comprennent pas forcément l'anglais. Et ce n'est pas un détail. Donc il y a un aspect pédagogique répétitif. Qu'est-ce qu'a fait Fundreles? On a commencé à faire la traduction automatique par programme manuel. Manuel, ça veut dire qu'une pauvre personne, une stagiaire en général assez jeune, à la main, couper, coller le message du courrier électronique, le passer dans un programme, récupérer le produit et couper, coller dans un autre message. Ce n'était pas très amusant comme travail, mais on a commencé comme ça. We have started doing that with manual utilization, a human being making cut and paste from program to program. Ensuite, on a fait un travail beaucoup plus ambitieux qui s'appelle EMEC, dans le cadre du projet Mystica. Ça, c'est vraiment comment les choses devraient être. Je vais vous en parler. EMEC, ça veut dire Efficient Management of Multilingual Electronic Conferences. Il me reste la minute. Il faut que j'accélère. Et puis, enfin, on est revenu parce que EMEC, il n'y a pas de marché, il n'y a pas de budget, il n'y a pas d'argent pour comprendre qu'il faut faire les choses bien. On est revenu à la traduction automatique par programme automatisé depuis 2001. Donc, je vais passer plus vite. On a commencé par une liste dans la Caraïbe entre différents les secteurs linguistiques de la Caraïbe. EMEC, c'est un projet qui a travaillé avec 4 langues et qui allait plus loin que la traduction. On offrait des résumés documentaires de tous les courriers électroniques traduits par humains dans les 4 langues et la traduction automatique révisée des courriers entiers. C'est donc vraiment du grand luxe. Le coût par message est passé de $20, c'est pas donné, il y a des personnes qui travaillent, à $10 par message, et le marché n'est pas prêt à payer ça. Je pense qu'il va changer le marché dans le futur. Les gens ne comprennent pas que la traduction, ça vaut la peine qu'on la paye. EMEC reste un projet réussi, très documenté, il y a un tas de références, mais qui n'a pas eu de suite faute de budget. Par contre, la traduction automatique a une demande extraordinaire qui commence à se lever. Fundredes gère aujourd'hui 15 listes de cette manière-là. Il y a plusieurs options, on peut le faire en listes séparées, en listes concaténées, on peut le faire sur le web, on supporte différents types de gestionnaires de listes. Nous sommes à la recherche d'un partenaire informaticien pour continuer, parce qu'on a besoin de professionnaliser le travail. On l'utilise dans des listes internes à Fundredes, Mystica, Cardicis, Salsa, etc., dans des listes externes, dont par exemple la liste plénière de la société civile du Sommet à Genève, dans la liste de l'Afrique, Axis, dans la liste de Maya, dans des projets IJEMELAGE, et l'ICANN récemment nous a demandé de l'utiliser, malheureusement sans modération. Le résultat est médiocre. Quels sont nos défis ? Le premier défi, et s'il y a des gens du logiciel libre, ils vont m'excuser la provocation, eux qui sont toujours prêts à donner des leçons aux autres, il n'y a pas de logiciel libre de traduction automatique. Et c'est un désastre. À cause de ça, on est obligé, dans notre serveur Linux, de faire une interface sur le web ou de faire une interface sur Windows pour travailler avec des logiciels de traduction sous Windows. Je lance un cri à la communauté du libre, passez moins de temps à critiquer les autres et passez plus de temps à travailler sur les sujets importants de la diversité. Tu répondras au moment où ce sera ton temps. Et il va venir, j'espère, très vite. Les services sur liste non modérée sont des problèmes. Beaucoup de difficultés à monter un partenariat, et je vais conclure sur les perspectives, et j'ai fini. J'ai sauté un peu l'anglais, je suis désolé, mais le temps presse. I'm sorry to have skip English, but that shows you the type of situation we are facing every day about diversity. Time and pragmatism is pressing, and translation is lost. Sorry. Je vais donner les perspectives en anglais pour ne pas être provocateur. We've been pioneers on a subject which I perceive will be understood as important in the coming years on the business. Time will come for sophisticated applications like EMEC. Time has come already for basic translation, but we need really to put more education for people for that to work. Muchas gracias.
Merci beaucoup, Daniel, pour cet exemple très pratique, for this very practical example. Thank you very much about the issues we're facing with online translation and how we can best use it, meaning with moderation, but that means also infrastructure and the necessary means to do so. So I would like to ask immediately our next speaker, Dr. Turanse Shazara, and I apologize for the poor pronunciation, from Japan, to please take the floor and please.
Sorry, actually the first person will be Kodama Sensei.
Yeah, 5-10 minutes maximum, because we would like to keep enough time for conclusions. Thank you very much. Actually, just when I was trying to introduce our next speaker, the screen went off, so I didn't get the affiliation, the university correctly, so I apologize. It's in fact Advanced Digital Media Technology Center in the university in Colombo School of Computing, so not Japan, but Sri Lanka instead.
Thank you.
Well, while the laptop is being switched, it's important to know that there are many activities related to multilingualism in our program today, including one which is co-organized by UNESCO, ICANN, and the NTRA at 12:30 in room Pardo 2, and there is also open standards in this room, and there is also debate about diversity in the plenary. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. So my name is Simply Senanda Sara. I'm from Sri Lanka, University of Colombo School of Computing. But presently, I'm working with Professor Mikami at Nagoya University in Japan. So I came from Japan today. So, from Sri Lanka, a small country, so it's again, we have various language problems, and we mainly, our language is still not presented in the internet. However, our main activities today is my main responsibility today to give some results what we have found on our survey done by Nagoya University about Asian language presence on the internet. So we have found quite a lot of problem in the Asian region. I'm talking about the whole Asia. It's not a simple, you know, study to do the whole in the Asian country domain language presence. However, we are trying to, you know, step by step to forward, you know, to take the good results. What we are facing in Asia is a quite diverse area specific to the languages, many language specific issues, lack of standards, and also legacy encoding, documents are present, and also interoperability issues of the languages in Asian region. So Asian region especially, so I just put this map to show this, you know, language diversity, how is, you know, presence in Asia. We have many language families, and we in Asian region, as you all know, there are many, many languages. You can see in the dark blue area, the languages, many languages are present in country-wise, for example, PNG. Though we have not included PNG in our survey, but Indonesia is one of the most diverse country in this region, then perhaps in India, Philippines, and so on. So, if you even go further for language-wise and also the land-wise, so there are many diverse in between that. We are PNG as a small land area where so many languages, like 700 odd languages is available in PNG. So this is the, you know, table which have combined here, where number of speaker population versus number of languages. In Indonesia came on the top, where the number of population is lesser, but India has the second, where you have now more than 1 billion people living in this India. So China, Philippines, Malaysia, Nepal, Myanmar, Vietnam, Laos, Thailand, Iran, and so on. So it's going down, like where Sri Lanka is also at the end of the list, which has 8 languages, though it's a small country. With the 20 million population. In this region which we're talking about, so there are 3 types of major scripts in South and Southeast Asia, especially Chinese ideographic scripts. And around India and subcontinent, the Brahmi basic script, and part of Southeast Asia and Austria, Romani script. Major type of scripts in West and Central Asia is Arabic, Cyrillic, and widely used Arabic in Western Asia. So it's a complex script which you can see what you have in Asian region. This is the image of that. And especially in India, there are many, many other problems other than language. So there are languages, but also language use same script. That is one of the other problem what we have in our survey. So we have to have further language identification steps to identify the language within the same script, like Hindi Devanagari, used by many, many languages. Indian case, Hindi is about 480 million speakers. Also, there are many other languages, less than 1 million speakers. So the but I also did some kind of research on the pages available on various sources, where UDHR, Universal Declaration of Human Rights document, we are taking as a source for training data, which has 331 languages, and Windows XP is using about 71 languages, but also I have not gone to Windows Vista to how many languages, but there are few languages I also served. Windows Vista still there implemented, but not fully functionally available. Even though if you go like BBC News, there are 33 languages listed, but unfortunately the listed languages does not appear inside the document. So the document is still in English. So though it says 33 languages, it's not truly 33 purely languages in text form. And if you go to this UDHR documents, there are many, many languages are available in script, but encoded in Latin, but not any other. For example, Indic languages, there is no script available in UDHR document. And many of them are either image formats or in PDF. And there's one other problem we have found still, though we are talking about encoded documents, though UDHR documents are not available on the encoded form. But of course, Latin is available, encoded into 252 languages, PDF only 2, images only 1. So that's also, so still we are not ready with the encoding, encoded documents, even for the UDHR documents. So this one of the other tasks, at least to be make them available. So our survey, go to 42 countries, 9 languages, 9 language families and 65 languages, and 18 major scripts. And this is the summary of our survey results. So it shows that Israel is come up the top according to the number of web pages on the internet. And but when you go down, so many complex scripts, languages like in India, Hindi, Devanagari, there are very few language pages on the internet, even though English is counted as a web present pages. So this is the latest results, which shows that in Asian region, there are 51% of the documents are in English, and only 41 is in local languages. The local languages are listed here. They are the languages identified by the government as official language or state languages. And other languages, there are 8% of the language documents are available in other languages. That include English, French, German, and so on. So this is the distribution of these languages. You can see in this diagram, so there are many, many, many English dominant web in Asian region. So English is very high, various locations like in Laos, Cambodia, Bhutan, and this area. And the middle one is the other languages, which probably like in Kyrgyzstan. So other languages is like Cyrillic. So it's not their official language script, but Cyrillic is mostly used. In this case, like in Singapore, the English is more dominant, but their main language is English. But in the middle of the other languages, like Tamil and Chinese, are much less. So this is a distribution of local languages in Asian countries. Again, in country-wise, Turkey is come at the top with the latest survey results. The Turkish language is coming at the top. And unfortunately, like Laos, Myanmar, Bhutan, Bangladesh, Maldives, Singapore. Singapore case is talking about other languages than their own official language, English. So that's very poor in that area. So So these, so I'll go quickly. So if you go to the languages itself, this survey is comprised of about 100 million web pages on the internet Asian region. So Hebrew come to the top of the list. And Thai is the second, Turkish and Vietnamese, Arabic, and so on. So this is the survey results of 100 million web pages. And if we go quickly for the Central Asian region, Russia, English, Russian, and Arabic pages by country, you can see in the Central Asia, there's a lot of diverse cities, as you can see. Many Central Asian countries have English web pages, and also the Russian web pages are quite high. Arabic also there, but very few. Turkmenistan has in Arabic pages. So it's again a country population versus number of pages per 100 population. So you can see, like in India, so very much low number of pages available on the internet. So I'll summarize at the end. So the UTF-8 document, other than the encoded script for other encoding script. So the number one is coming to Vietnam. So Vietnam has the highest number of UTF-8 documents. And then Farsi, Hebrew, and Turkish, and so on. And here you can see the in Indian continents, Indic script languages has very much lower percentage. Something like Burmese is actually zero pages on the internet. UTF-8 encoded documents. And so there's another way of it. UTF-8 encoded document in Vietnam is 96.4, other encoded 3.6. And the other encoded means we have listed here the word encoded, what is the encoded means. So this font name is given here. So this is the diversity in Central Asia again. So it's the same thing which I discussed earlier. So I think so that is the summary of results we can present today for this forum. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for this presentation. We can say that actually we're kind of on a journey around the world because we started with Russia, yeah, and then we went to Latin America, now Asia, and we have in fact on this panel two speakers from Asia. So I would like to give the floor to, this time, Japan, or more precisely speaking, Dr. Shigeki Kodoma, who is from the Nagoaka University of Technology in Japan. The floor is yours.
For preparation.
He saved time because he's published the last conclusion. Thank you.
For me, it's only 6 minutes, so I would like to skip the needless information and just start with our data from our research. Yes, this data is coming from our of last year. How many pages are distributed in each African domains. South African domains are occupying about 79% of web pages of African domains. We say African domains as it means all country domains assigned to African regions. Is coming from this year. South Africa occupies also, many pages, but the occupation rate is growing smaller, 3% smaller than last year. And this is the distribution of languages. English occupies 73% in 26th, but in 27th, it grows to 80%. And this is the distribution of languages of wider communication, which English, French, Arabic, and Portuguese. In League of Arab Nations and Francophone Nations, rate of French is much higher than English. But in Commonwealth countries, including South Africa, English is having, English have dominance. Yes. And this is data from our research, how many pages in African languages. Africans occupy third place in 27th, but other languages are relatively smaller appearance. Yes, and this chart shows how the language of wider communications are growing in African domains. English, French, and Arabic, all the languages are growing in 27th than in 26th. And this chart shows number of domains in African domains and also in the world. Growth rate of African domains are about 150%, which is far better than world's growth rate. But the other data show that in Africa, many of domains or servers are not in Africa, but in other countries. Conclusion, about 70% of hosts thought to be out of Africa, the last chart shows, and also languages of wider communications are more used on the Africa web in 27 than 26. And African languages are used only